For the church militant, please welcome Linda Lyons.
The church, purging, of course, purgatory. The church militant, us, the army of Christ, and the church triumphant. I'm going to try to just present it and let the Holy Spirit all together so we can see what a dynamic trifecta this is and how we were really like quarterbacks down here. But anyway, so let's go into the church purging first. I'm going to quote from some volumes of Louisa Picaretta, which, by the way, the church officially in August of 2024 put the Neil Obstadt on and had a number six. The theological smart guys went through and said there's nothing here contrary to faith and morals or to church doctrine. So the Neil Obstadt meant that her cause is able to move forward toward beatification, even though she's just a servant of God at this point. So I would like to quote from one of these volumes from Jesus in 1901, where he talks about our relationship with those souls and how he feels about them. He says, "The charity most acceptable to me is toward those who are closest to me. And those who are closest to me are the purging souls, because they are confirmed in my grace, and there is no opposition between my will and theirs. They live continuously in me. They ardently love me, and I am forced to see them suffer within myself, impotent to give themselves the slightest relief on their own. Oh, how tortured my heart is by the position of these souls, because they are not far away, but close to me. Not only close, but inside of me. And how pleasing to my heart is the one who interests himself with them." Right now, where we are, sometimes we feel like we're in hell or, you know, maybe in purgatory with all the suffering in the world we're in. This is a critical, important position that we have to, if nothing else, to minister to these souls. Louisa's confessor actually appeared to her and he said to her, "You made a beautiful intercession for me. If you only knew the good that you did for me, the consolation and refreshment that I felt, and the years you shortened. Who can tell the good that you did for me? All were baths that contained a divine power and immensity. Repeat this for me. Repeat this for me!" Exclamation point. This is this one prayer that she prayed for him. It's not a magical formula, but she did pray it in the Lord's will, which made it very powerful. And she prayed this prayer, "Lord, I immerse myself in the divine volition, and I take its power, the immensity of its love, the immense value of the pains of the Son of God, and all the divine qualities. I pour them over," and parenthetically, you can put the name or names, "and ask that they receive the bath of love that the divine power contains, the bath of beauty, the bath of the blood of Jesus, and of all the divine qualities. Amen." One way of a few ways that we can help the souls in purgatory. And there's also the plenary indulgence, which we're just coming off the Jubilee year, where we can get every day, if we want to communion twice, we could get two plenary indulgences for souls that we're purging. But now we're not in that year, but we're in the year, the Jubilee of St. Francis. So if you run on down to the monastery, You can get a plenary indulgence. Every time you do that, you'd have to look up exactly what you're to do. But basically, when we do an indulgence or ask for a plenary indulgence, it's typically communion on that day, the day of the asking, and then it's 20 days before and 20 days after confession. And I think it was Pope John Paul II who extended that because of the shortage of priests. Prayers for the Pope's intentions, and right now, this month, well, some people just pray for the Pope, but this month, it's praying for priests who are in crisis. So that's a wonderful thing to be reminded of while we're doing this, to pray for the priest. And then, this is the tough part with the indulgences, complete, at the time you're doing it, complete detachment from sin. But hey, let's think about this. If you have a mom or an aunt or a friend or relative in purgatory, and you can't do it perfectly, but you try, we can get them a partial indulgence. And if you were down there and I were down there, I would take a partial. I would take anything. So it's just the generosity of our hearts. I'm not saying you have to do this every day. We just ask the Holy Spirit, will you give me an opportunity to do this? And then there's a prescribed work. Now I have the little Pieta book, and in there it's got a prayer before a crucifix I say after communion. That says plenary indulgence, so I use that. And there are other things, adoration for 30 minutes, rosary in church with a group of people, reading scripture 30 minutes. All I'm saying is there's all kinds of things that we can do. We don't have to do them all, but there's all kinds of things we can help the souls. And then, in the hours of the Passion, which has a number of imprimaturs to it, our Lord said to Louisa, if they practice it with me and in unison with my will, that is, reciting the Passion, which I asked Father Ian Nuzio, theologian, about reciting, because we can get so tied up in legalisms. That doesn't mean you have to say it out loud, okay? We just do this prayer. But if they say it with in unison with my will, I will shall give them a soul for each word they recite. That's pretty powerful. So that's got the imprimatur, and you can, you know, Lord, this is what you said. The church backs it up, and he will. He definitely will. We'll move on to Church Triumphant, and this is pretty nifty. The souls in heaven are seen as beneficiaries and intercessors. So not only do they help us down here, but they receive something from us. And we're the only ones in this position here as souls, as they say, in the exile, who can see that they receive accidental glory. And that the term, you know, we talk about the accidents of the host. Theologically, you're like, what? But that basically means that they can't get them this for themselves. Once we take, our heart takes that last beat and we're clinically out, this time of us earning for us what's called essential glory ends. We might think, oh, we're just down here to have a good time and we'll just spend our time to kind of get through it. But we don't want to miss the opportunity of this essential glory that we can get only here. So if you live a long time, that's good. You can get tons of essential glory. But as far as they're concerned, they get the accidental glory. Now, I looked all this up, so I'm not making it up. So they cannot increase their own glory, but we can. And they want to get involved in our lives because we will give that to them. That's not the only reason they want to give glory to God. But in Catholic theology, that is attributed to St. Thomas Aquinas, and it refers to an increase in the accidental joy, intimacy with God, and intercessory power of a soul already in heaven. So if we pray for them, they get more powerful in their intercession. So the essential glory is the immediate vision of God. Accidental glory is an increase in happiness or glory a soul receives. So they're not up there, you think, man, Uncle Joe, he loved golf. He's playing golf, I know it, 24/7. He doesn't know what's going on down here with me. Oh yes, he does. They're lining up. They're like, me, pick me. Let me pray for you. You know, and they have special areas, special gifts. And so they love to be called on. So that's good to know. Where again, we're like the quarterbacks down here, these little humble souls, sinful souls, and we have so much power at our disposal if we, number one, know it. Scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we can go through our whole life never knowing any of this stuff. But once we know, knowledge is power. Now we can affect the souls in purgatory, and we can affect, in a wonderful way, the triumphant souls. The purpose of prayer then, even if a soul does not need purification in purgatory, prayers offered for them increase their capacity for joy and their ability to intercede, as I said before. So any way you look at it, we're impacting people. And believe me, I've read this and heard this, when we get to the other side, there may be so many people who come up to us and go, oh, I can't thank you enough. You know why I'm here? You. You suffer, but you offered it up, and I'm so grateful. So we have a lot of pats on the back when we get up there from the Lord, of course, and that is who we're trying to please. But think about it. We're all one church. We're all one community. Just because they're separated here and the others are separated there, they're not really separated. And this joy that the eternal increase, the joy that they receive in heaven continues to grow for all eternity. According to some, souls in heaven will further grow in accidental glory once their bodies are resurrected and joined with their souls. So I don't know, Father, if that's a heresy. I took this off Catholic Digest, so I hope that's right. But anyway, this concept is often used to encourage the faithful to never stop praying for the dead, as the prayers either relieve souls in purgatory or enhance the glory of the souls in heaven. So I beat that, you know, to a pulp. You get that. All right, now we move on to us. Another quote from our Lord, where he's talking about his will. He says, my will makes arise the operating love in the souls on earth. That's us. And the beatifying love in heaven. Where there's no love, Jesus says, I don't even move. I do not go, nor do I know what to do with the creature. But the love that my will makes arise is immense. And there's no place in which one who lives in it cannot be found, all invested, almost clumsy with my love. You ever just feel like you're like, yeah, I have a few days like that, more in the past than I have lately, but you get the idea. Soon, this soul, and I say she because the soul in Latin and Greek is always referred to in the feminine, soon she has our same destiny, loving everywhere and in every place, loving always and everyone. Did we have any idea that these little prayers that we do every day have this potential? We feel that she loves us in the hearts of all. Her love runs to every place. She loves us in the sun, in the heavens, in the shining of the stars, in the whispers of the wind, in the murmuring of the sea, in the darting of the fish, in the singing of the birds. And the time we're in right now, I mean, you wake up in the morning, you can hear the birds, and a lost opportunity would be to lie there and worry about, oh no, this day. Instead, we could enter into the praises that those birds are giving God because he put his love in them. But he wants us to recognize it and give it to him. You know, now I've said this in this little group I lead sometimes. We want to love a human being. So an ant on the ground, if an ant loves us, I mean, that's not that exciting. Well, God put his very own spirit in us, and he wants us. He hears the birds and he sees the sun, but he's like, I did all this for mankind. I want to hear that I love you from them. So we see all that out there and we go, wow, God, I love you. I love you in that. And every single, and we don't even have to say it. We can just kind of take it in, listen, and it just becomes a praise. Words sometimes get in the way. We feel that she loves us in the hearts of, here we go, up in heaven, the angels and the saints. You don't think we're special to them when we're doing this down here? We'll only know when we get to the other side fully. And even in our divine womb, which could be like God's heart. Everyone says, may you be welcome. Oh, how we awaited you. Come and take your place of honor. Come and love our Creator in us. That's pretty powerful. But again, if we don't know, we're missing it. We're just going through life, going through the motions, checking off the list, what I got to get done today. Let's do the list in Him. You know, working my working, driving my driving, showering my showering, praying my praying. Then it's us together, not I, but we. Now here's another thing. I'm hoping I'm not going to ruffle some feathers with this, but I heard this from Father Iannuzzi, a great theologian in Rome. When we pray in God's will, we are praying, as this former reading showed, in a new dimension. It's a time that St. Louis de Montfort said would be the time that would produce some of the greatest saints. And John Paul II said it would be a time of a new and divine holiness. And he also said, when we're getting ready for this now, a new springtime in the church. These are powerful, powerful promises. So we don't want to miss them. But here's what happens. When we pray in this way, we just simply call in his will, pray in my praying, etc. This, when I first heard this, I thought, wow, we are in the end of time, or the end times when we pray like that. And why is that? Because when we didn't pray in this special gift that God gave before, we could intercede for mom and pop, our generation, our children, and perhaps if we have a lot of generations, our grandchildren, because they're what? Living. But in this, the end of time, we can pray for all, everybody, from the beginning of time, Adam, to the last man. And why is that? Because God lives in that dimension. Past, present, and future are all one single point for him. In the gift of wisdom, I used to think of it this way. If we were to go up and sit on the Father's throne with him and look down here, the gift of wisdom, we would understand this concept. Because we would see our lives, here's birth into the world, here's birth with our Lord. We would see all of that in one look. It's all there in one glance. That's how he sees. That's how he operates. There's no time. Obviously, we live in time, but we can go out of that. And I'm going to give you an example in case you think someone needs to get the hook and pull me off of here about now. Padre Pio was asked what he was doing, and he said to this friend, I was praying for my grandfather before he died. And the guy said, wait a minute, he's already died. And Padre Pio says, that's right. Now, he was a contemporary of Luisa. He said, I go back in time to the moment before he died, and I pray that he went with the Lord. Now, this Father Annuzzi made this point. Whatever choice his grandfather made, that's done. It's over. But God, because he sees all, knows that now we're going back in his will and praying at that moment of time. And he honors that for when he left the earth and went to eternity, wherever that was. Another example of that, in case you think she's really making this stuff up, the Immaculate Conception. How did Mary receive the salvific benefits of Jesus' redemption when he hadn't even been conceived? The church, it's all there. It's all there for us if we understand that we can pray in this new and divine holiness. God's pulling out all the stops, the worst evil in all of history, and he brings us the gift of divine mercy, and he's giving us this gift to reach so many people. So we think, oh, woe is me, and sometimes I do think that this life is hard, but let's not waste it, because what is being accomplished here, or can be accomplished, is beyond, just beyond us. We have to walk the walk of faith and just take it on faith, because our brain is so small, we can't get it. We don't understand it. Now I'm going to part because the movie Schindler's List was a brutal movie, true story. How many saw it years ago? About World War II and Schindler, who was trying to save the Jews who were going to be massacred by Hitler. And in that movie, he got a heart for them, and he did everything he could to save as many Jews as possible. He spent a lot of money, gave up just a whole lot of his personal belongings. But at the very end, he said, I should have sold the car. He had a very expensive car. He says that would have brought in, oh, saved, I don't know how many more of those people. So what I'm tossing out there for you as well as myself, let's not get to the end of our lives and go, I should have sold the car. You know, let's do what's prudent without killing ourselves, because the devil can work that way too. And because of lack of prudence, he can overcome us. We have to have that, but let's let the love carry us to really the short time we're here. It's not really long, except for the Jansens are doing pretty. Sorry about that. So I guess we'll, as a community, we'll all join together. And what did Rose sense in here? Loaded with angels, because they knew this talk was coming. And they want to be here to encourage us. Please, 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 are saying, please listen and please do this. Amen.
Amen. Amen.